Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Tello di Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Hebert Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
DonCole.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
That's right. That's right. Normally about this time, thank you. Normally about this time, Ron is saying thank you, bus people, and we're getting the show started. My name is Mike, and Ron is at an event he had to attend tonight. So, what? Sorry, but it is All About Wine Thursday, August the 7th, 2014. Yeah, Ron is at an event, and he had to be there. And after his announcement of the sad news last week, I decided to go ahead and do a show anyway and feature a interview that we did back in actually 2011. I think it was put on the Facebook page as 2012, but it was actually further back than that, and it took forever and a day to find it, but because it was not labeled. And after some backtracking, I finally found it, and I told Ron after the show last Thursday, which was July the 31st, that I think we're going to do a show anyway, and in his absence, and which I've done before, but it's very rare, very rare. Trust me, I'm usually behind the scenes on talk shows, but I thought it was time that we replay this and do it for the listeners out there. But first, so this is going to be a special program featuring an interview that we did on All About Wine from July 28, 2011, with Marco Borghese of Castello di Borghese. And I'll have that interview and more, but I have two quick industry news items for you, which, you know, up until the last few seconds of the show, I was like, you know what, I could just forget the news items and get on with the Borghese information and do the interview, but I'm just going to... Just to break it up a little bit, I'll just let you know about this, and then I'll get started with the rest of the program. So thank you for joining me tonight, and I hope you're tune in right now live. And The call-in line, while it is open, probably won't be able to take any calls right now because this is kind of a solo thing, and I'm usually the one in the background answering the phone and getting things prepared for the show while Ron is talking, but nobody's doing that right now. It's just me. So we'll get on with the news, and then I'll stay tuned, though, because it's a two-part section. There's a little break in the middle of it just to let you know what you're listening to, but we'll go back to 2011 with the interview. Very, very enjoyable, entertaining, and fun interview with Marco Borghese from July 28th, 2011, and I'll tell you what happened if you missed it or haven't had heard the news or anything in a minute. But just in time for the 2014 harvest, Oak Farm Vineyards in Lodi, California, has brought its newly completed 7,000 cases per year production winery online. Oak Farm Vineyards is owned and operated by the Pinella family, which has been active in wine growing and other agricultural ventures in the Central Valley for three generations. In some news that I found off of their website, it doesn't go recently, but it's kind of interesting that like back in April 20th, 2013, they received the Platinum Best of Class Award for the 2011 Barbera at the Consumer Wine Awards. And the 2012 Verdello won the silver medal. The wine competition features double-blind tasting trials with consumers as judges instead of the traditional wine experts. And it's obviously a big thing there in the Napa Valley, Sonoma, Lodi, Amador, Paso Robles, et cetera, in that area. So it's really cool. And congratulations on the awards. There's a lot of news items on there, but unfortunately they start like at May 18th in 2013 and go back from there. So got to update that. But go check out the website. It's a really cool-looking website. It's oakfarmvineyards.com. And they also have the wines listed on there, and there is a add to cart button, so that's cool. In other news, one more news item real quick. A worldwide network of geneticists, and we've talked about this before, about GMOs and what they're doing now in the wine world, and it's pretty interesting what they're able to do here. A worldwide network of geneticists are trying to artificially engineer the world's first complex living organism, building chromosomes to craft a synthetic yeast. Isn't that cool? What? A dozen labs are simultaneously, and this is like a worldwide thing, sequencing the 16 chromosomes that will make this fully synthetic yeast cell, affectionately known by the team as Yeast 2.0. Yeah, right. 2.0. Where's the beta version? It is unlikely that we will see synthetic yeast being used in winemaking, or at least we'll see it anytime soon. So why all this work? Well, scientists have been trying to understand how yeast metabolize grape juice and produce complex flavors. Yeast 2.0 in a laboratory environment will help build that fundamental understanding. The information may be applied to achieve a better level of control over the fermentation process. Now, the project is expected to be complete in about 2 to 3 years. So it's a long ways off. We probably won't see any effect on wine itself, but it's kind of interesting that they're actually genetically producing this, and it's kind of cool. I was reading there's a lot of lot longer articles about this on there, on the web. You can find it different sources and everything. So very, very cool stuff, and how they're doing this. One real quick thing, because I'm hearing the rain outside my window here in Tampa, but Hawaii, whatever you got to do, I don't know if you're listening out there or what, but brace yourselves, because you got two hurricanes on your doorstep, and they are moving. Izel, I think it is called, Izel, and Julio. Right back-to-back right there in the Pacific, heading towards Hawaii, it looks like. So brace yourselves, and we hope everything is cool with y'all. Do they call it the hurricanes out there, I thought they weren't. I don't know. Okay, let's see if we can do this here. Let me scroll down here real quick. And all right. And now from Long Island, New York, as I mentioned, this is a special thing, and I really wanted to get right to this from the beginning, but there were two items that I just had to blurt out there to get going. So Marco and Anne-Marie Borghese bought the region's first vineyard in 1999 from the pioneering Hargrave family, which established it in 1973. The new owners named it Castello di Borghese. Marco Borghese, who moved to the U.S. in 1969, had been a Tuscan prince, a real prince with noble roots dating back to 9th century Italy. Mr. Borghese was a graduate of the University of Rome and received his Bachelor of Arts in Engineering. He and Anne Marie married in 1985 and settled in Philadelphia. They first visited the North Fork, during Thanksgiving 1998. Marco's relatives owned a vineyard in Florence for generations. His wife, Anne Marie, studied French wine in Paris and was the owner of a jewelry salon. They brought elegance to the wine region. Marco would serve as president of the Long Island Wine Council just 4 years after moving to North Fork, and the couple both became widely respected for their contributions to developing the region. In 2005, the New York Wine and Grape Foundation awarded Marco its highest honor, called the Unity Award, to recognize his important role on behalf of both Long Island and the broader New York State wine industry. The award was established in 1990 to recognize individuals who have volunteered their time, shown exceptional leadership, and achieved recognized results in building industry cooperation and unity. Well deserved. Friends and colleagues who knew them said Borghese was charming and easygoing and a diplomat. Anne Marie was fun, lively, articulate, and smart. Both had a great sense of humor. They were classy and very proud to be out there in the wine industry. Anne Marie, who graduated from the University of Delaware, actively contributed to industry marketing strategies and activities while promoting the family's wines and the North Fork across the New York metropolitan area. She devoted a lot of time, expertise, and resources to many local community organizations and causes. The Long Island winemaking community admired the couple for their elegance, energy, and innovation in bringing the arts into the tasting room. On June 20th, Marco's wife, 55-year-old Anne Marie, passed away after a courageous battle with cancer, which she was diagnosed more than a year ago. Less than 2 weeks after his wife's death, Marco Borghese was driving his Jeep Grand Cherokee east on Route 25A in Wading River on June 30th at about 3:30 p.m. Borghese lost control on a turn and hit a delivery truck head-on. The 70-year-old was later pronounced dead at Peconic Bay Medical Center in Riverhead. Wading River Fire Department Chief Kevin McQueeny said it took more than a dozen firefighters to extricate the vineyard owner from the wreckage. No one was charged in the accident. The delivery truck was owned by Southern Wine and Spirits in Syosset. I hope that's how you say that. The driver and passenger in the truck were not injured. The Borghese's leave behind two children, 26-year-old Allegra and 28-year-old Giovanni. Marco Borghese also had a son, Fernando, from a previous marriage. A private family service was held July 3, 2014, at Castello di Borghese. Following cremation, his ashes will be dispersed in the Chesapeake Bay. That was the report back in July, so probably by now it's already been done. The Borghese Vineyard, which has been on the selling block since 2006, was originally bought for $4 million. The entire 85-acre property was listed in 2006 at $9.2 million. Castello di Borghese has a tasting room annex on Main Road and its vineyard and tasting room on Route 48. Private funeral arrangements for Mr. Borghese are being handled by DeFriest, I think it's called, Grattan Funeral Home in Matatuck. Grattan Funeral Home in Matatuck. Castello di Borghese Vineyard and family welcome you to honor the lives of Anne Marie and Marco Borghese on Saturday, August 16, 2014, at 3 p.m. at Our Lady of Ostrobrama Roman Catholic Church, located at 3000 Depot Lane in Cutchogue. Hope that's how you say that. Probably find out in the interview, right? C-U-T-C-H-O-G-U-E. That's 3000 Depot Lane. Then watch the setting sun and reminisce at the Memorial Celebration of Life concert featuring Nashville Hall of Famer Hugh Prestwood and friends at Castello di Borghese Vineyard, located on Route 48 in Cutchogue, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Be sure to bring blankets and chairs for your comfort. Drinks will be available by the glass and bottle, and on-the-road food truck will be on premise. We hear at All About Wine send our deepest condolences to Allegra, Giovanni, Fernando, and the entire Borghese family. What follows now is the interview Ron had with Marco Borghese on All About Wine on July 28, 2011. Thank you.
You there, Marco? All right.
Thank you
for joining us tonight. We really appreciate that. Thank you for your patience, too, there. I don't know if you heard too much of that. You are from Castello di Borghese, is that it?
Castello di Borghese, that's the correct pronunciation.
Okay, Castello, that is Spanish? Italian?
No, it's Italian.
Italian, okay.
It means Castello di Borghese.
You being Italian?
I am, yep.
Okay. That's
that makes it simpler.
it does it that. Tell us about Castello di Borghese, vineyard and winery.
Borghese, yeah.
Borghese, okay. Borghese.
Okay. The winery is the first winery established in Long Island.
Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty small region, so it's not a claim for worldwide fame, but... in this part of the world, we started this winery in 1973. We planted the first vines in 1974 and 5. So we are the oldest winery established in Long Island.
Well, that's quite a claim to fame there. What do you grow there? What grapes?
We have all French grapes because. That is what was proven to grow better in this part of the world, given the soil and the climate. So the type of vines are categorized under the name French vinifera.
Right.
And we grow Chardonnay, we grow Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling in the whites, and then some reds, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Pinot Noir. That's our claim to fame, so I'm going to say it twice.
Well, that's good. How many acres of each of those do you have?
Of each, it's about the same amount of each. We have 7 or 8 varieties, as I told you, and we have about 30 acres that are planted. We are in the process of planting some more, so by the time we are finished with that process, in a year or two, we will have like 35 to 40.
Wow.
But the whole estate here is 85 acres, so we have plenty of room to grow.
Wow. I'm looking at a map of Long Island right now, and I'm looking at where you are, and you're just about in the middle of the North Branch there. It seems odd that you would have 85 acres available right there.
The total wine making region here in the North Fork of Long Island is about 3,000 acres. The total available is somewhere under 10,000 acres. So we are in a small area. We like to call ourselves the Napa of Long Island, but in effect we are so small that it's going to be a problem to make a dent in the world. But here in New York, We are known for good quality and things like that, so we try to do the best we can.
Yeah, well, it seems to be working well for you there. Do you water your plants? Will you have a drip system, or what do you use for watering of your vineyards?
The vines that we have, because they were planted over 35 years ago, they actually do not need water in normal circumstances. It's only the new plants that need watering, and we have tractors that have some big containers behind, and we water what we need to do to make them grow nice.
Yeah. So
in normal circumstances, we don't need watering. It's only at the beginning of the life of a vine that you need to water them on a regular basis.
Oh, okay. So after they've been established for as long as they have, they pretty much take care of themselves then.
They pretty much take care of themselves. The roots go down sometimes 2 to 3 feet. So there is always humidity and wetness down there.
Right.
Which works also in the winter because the frost line doesn't go below, say, you know, between 6 inches and a foot. So the roots are safe even in the winter when it's very cold.
Oh, okay. So these roots are going down as opposed to being spread out. Here in Florida, a lot of our root systems are not as deep as they are, you know, spread out to capture water and moisture and stuff. So
if they're planted right. And in this part of the, we have sandy soils here, and that's the discovery that was made, that the soil here, which used to be all potatoes, now it's sandy, and therefore the grapes grow, the vines grow well in this soil. And the climate that we have is also very similar to the Bordeaux region. So that's what we can do in this part of the world. The same thing that we plant here would not work in Florida, I'm sure.
No, they would not, because of Pierce disease more than any reason. And so we have a problem with that. When do you get bud break?
We get it around, give or take a week, around May 7th.
Oh.
It's either from the 1st of May to the 15th of May, that's bud break. Then we have the next big event happening is when the vines start flowering, and that's the beginning of a cluster. So that's another dangerous period for us, which is if it rained too much at that time, it would wash all the flowers away, which I'm only mentioning because it has happened to us.
Uh-huh.
And then the actual grapes start showing up sometime at the beginning of July. By the middle of August, the sugar starts building up in the grapes, so we have to cover all the vines with nets, and that will, because of birds and because of other wildlife. So
you have deer. Do you have deer
a
problem up there?
We have a problem with that. We would lose 50% of our yield if we didn't do that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a serious thing, and everybody around here has to do it.
So you have to cover with netting every year then. Wow.
Every year. We have a special attachment to one of our tractors, and two guys and the driver can do the whole vineyard in about 2 days.
And how long do you have to leave it on before the birds leave?
That's at harvest we take them down. Actually, after harvest. We raise them up. We raise them up to allow us to do the harvest, and then any time after that, you know, October, November, whenever, then we can remove them and save them for next year.
Wow. I never realized. Long Island, it seems to me like you have just a unique little small maritime warm climate there compared to the rest of New York.
It's very true. We, especially where we are on the North Fork, it's between two bodies of water. If you look up on the map, one is the Long Island Sound, and on the south of us, it's the Peconic Bay. So the reason that it works out here is that another big danger would be the frost. But being as we are in between bodies of water, the frost is not, usually doesn't happen. Now, watch it, I jinx myself. but in the 12, 15 years that I've been here, we did not have serious frost problems.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go on.
So around the middle of August, another 2 weeks, the red grapes start turning red, and the whites stay white, and then the process of harvesting comes about. Our first variety that we harvest is in the middle of September. By the end of September, we have done all the whites, and by the end of October, we do all the reds. That is always weather permitting and whatever.
What do you use, wood, stainless steel?
We do both. The fermentation happens in stainless steel, and then there is the choice of either aging in wood or letting it be aging for a little bit in stainless steel. Stainless steel is neutral, so it doesn't do anything on the wine, for the wine, and it saves the wine for a very long time because it doesn't impart any flavors or anything like that. With oak, you have to be a little more careful because there is such a thing as being too much oak in the flavor of the wine, so you have to watch it constantly. But basically, the whites stay in oak for about 6 months at the most, and the reds stay in oak for anywhere between 2 to 3 years.
Wow. So you do use oak quite a bit. What oak
we
are you
use
using?
Oak. There is three types of oak in big generic terms. The French oak is considered the best, but is also the most expensive. So, and then you try to lower your cost by using some American oak, which is also good, but it's good for certain wines and not for others. And lately, the Eastern European countries have come up with some oaks themselves, from Bulgaria and Hungary and places like that. But oak is the only one that works. So actually, the art of making wine, I like to say, it's really blending of different age oaks and different age, and if every barrel is different, imparts a different flavor. So the making of the wine is really the blending process is really the most important one, assuming that you have good wine to begin.
Right. You have been the owner from the beginning?
No, my wife and I bought this place in 1999. So we have been here 12 years.
Okay. Is this a picture of you and your wife on your website?
Yep.
With your dog? Oh, there. See, I got the advantage. I can see what you look like.
I didn't put my kids on the website. So I consider my dog my
people. There you go.
All right, this is Mike again. You are listening to a replay of an interview that Ron had on All About Wine with Marco Borghese on July 28, 2011. It was a show that we did start off. Well, we were in the middle of New York, and we covered Long Island. There was another guest at the beginning. And the title on the archive page on Blog Talk Radio just says that Long Island, and we originally had it, or I had it on the All About Wine BTR.com website, as being in 2012. So I was searching for the files and everything through 2012. There was nothing in the title, nothing in the description. And so I had to basically search through all the shows from 2012 backwards to 2011 until I found the Long Island one. And I actually listened to that first because it said Long Island. There's a keyword, hello. And not knowing that, because the description didn't say it, that we had a guest on in the beginning of the show from that region. So towards the end of the show is when Marco came on and started the interview, but it's not mentioned anywhere. So if you want to hear, you know, the whole Long Island interview from our other guest as well, you can go back to the archives on blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine, I believe it is, and then go through the archives and look at the July 28, 2011 show. For those of you just joining us, that's what you're listening to is a replay. I have part two coming up where Marco talks about the government and a whole lot more. And if you missed the beginning of the show, Marco Borghese sadly passed away on June 30th after a car accident. So let's continue on, and after the interview, I will tell you about Wine Fest and Wine Class coming up this weekend at Florida Estates Winery. Here is part two with Ron and Marco Borghese from July 28th, 2011.
Let's see, I was going to ask. Your opinion, your feelings of the government, the state of New York government, are they good, bad, indifferent? You wish they dropped dead?
Of course they're bad. we really, you know, we are in New York, and it's only 90 miles to New York City. Nothing is cheap around here. The state of New York really does not, nor the state nor the federal government subsidize any of our production. And sometimes we are considered to be a little bit on the expensive side, which I don't think is so, because our quality is so very good. And the problem is that people compare us with countries that make a lot of wine and their government subsidize their exports, like, just to name a few, Australia, Chile, and those kind of places. But here in New York, life around here, you know, I like to consider myself a farmer, but this is truly a gentleman farmer kind of situation. We need to spend a lot of money to make wine.
Oh, yes. Everywhere does. It's the old saying, you know, how to make a small fortune in the wine business.
I heard
start
that
with a large fortune. Yes, that's...
I heard that thing.
Yeah, everybody knows that one. Well, I'm looking at some of your wines here. Your Allegra, Late Harvest Chardonnay, that sounds very interesting.
That is something we came up with. It's one of our invention about 5 years ago. And Allegra is my daughter's name. And when she was 16, she asked us that we name a wine after her. So instead of giving her a sweet 16 party at a winery, which is not a very good idea,
yes.
We made a wine her honor. And that and that lasts for a very long time.
So we
have been doing it every year for the past, as I said, 6-7 years. So.
Yeah, it looks very interesting. It really does.
It is actually very good. It's a dessert wine, so it's the only dessert wine we make.
Oh.
So it's sweet, and it's delicious.
Made with the Chardonnay grape. That's just interesting.
Made with the Chardonnay grape. What we do is we save, say, a couple of 2 or 3 acres of Chardonnay. Instead of picking it, we leave the grapes on the vine. Then eventually, before they go to bed, we freeze the grapes, and then that cuts down the yield by about 2/3, and the concentration of sugar that you can extract from those grapes is fabulous. it's really expensive but great way to make wine.
Sounds great. Marco, give me 1 second. Let me pass something on to listeners. If anyone's listening live right now, we are almost finished with the live broadcast. You can continue this on archive. If you're listening archive, then you're going to stay with us. But the live program will discontinue in about a minute here. We're going to ask Marco a few more questions here before he gets going. So if you are listening live, thanks for tuning in tonight. Jump over to the archives, listen to us on archive. Marco, I noticed also you have olive oils. These all from Italy.
Olive oil happens to be from Calabria in Italy, and is my sister's farm. We are the only customer outside of Italy that they sell to. So I sometimes do olive oil tastings, just like we do with wine. I have a friend that has different olive oils, and we compare olive oils. Any gimmick to bring people in, you know.
Oh wow! How do you taste olive oils? You don't have a little cup. What do you do?
We have a loaf of bread, and we cut it in slices, and the customers can dip it in the olive oil, and they can taste the difference between two different olive oils. This happens to be a virgin cold-pressed olive oil, and so there is a lot of varieties of olive oil, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
We also make what we call olive schiacciate, which is a mashed, really smashed olives where the pits is removed, and we marinate whatever is left, which is the meat of the olive, with other spices and things like that. And if you want a treat, let me know.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. That really does.
It is delicious. They marinate in their own olive oil. It's fabulous.
That would be the type that you wouldn't mix it in anything. That would be the type you would use for a salad dressing just by itself.
Salad dressing, pasta, sauces, you name it.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, you use a toothpick and you eat them all day long.
And that's just what we need. your wine club, you have a wine club. Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
We have a wine club that it's in its second year. We have many members now. We have over 200 members in 1 year, so we are doing very well with that. The way it works is they get a heavy discount up front, and they give us the money to become members, and every 3 months we ship them an assortment of wines of our. We have different levels of membership, but basically whatever level they want, that's the wines that we are going to ship them. It's working fantastic.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that.
Because we have members in Florida and things like that.
You can ship down here to Florida then?
In Florida to consumers, if the consumer comes here and places the order here, we can then ship to Florida, yes.
I see.
There are a couple of states that don't allow us to ship, period. But some of them allow us to ship, provided the purchase was made here at our location.
I see. Again, we're going back to government rules and regulations on that.
My goodness. let's not start on that.
Yeah, definitely. Are you open year-round, or is the winter time?
Year-round. In the winter, January through April, we close sometimes on Tuesday, sometimes on Wednesday, because during the week we get absolutely no traffic. But otherwise, we are open 7 days a week, except for those 3 months, and every day.
I see. Mike, you have any questions for Marco here?
No, I'm ready for a road trip, actually.
Yeah.
I'll be. Let me know. I'll be happy to take care of you.
We'll keep that in mind, yeah. Well, Marco, thank you. I'm sorry, Mike, you had something?
Yeah, we just need to make sure we get address and contact information. You're on Facebook, and any kind of contact information you can give us.
My name is Marco Borghese, and my wife and I own this place called Castello di Borghese. The physical address is 17150 Route 48. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 957, and we are in beautiful sunny Catshaw in New York, 11935.
And phone number and email and Facebook
email,
and everything?
Email, you can, the website is castellodiborghese.com, or if you want to make it simpler, borghesevineyards.com, and that will give all the contact information, our phone number, and ways to order wine online and things like that.
So for me in Florida to order wine from you, it's not possible to do it online. I have to go to where you're located.
You can do it online.
Okay, that part I misunderstood then, because I thought there was something that
There is a couple of states that don't allow us to do that.
Okay.
I think Illinois is a problem. And I think Virginia is a problem, but most states are reciprocal in the sense that they let New York wines in there if New York lets their wine, and we of course let everybody's wine in this state. So.
Okay.
just to have more available stuff, you know.
Right. Mm, okay.
You are on Facebook, aren't you?
We are on Facebook. You click on the Facebook image. I think it gets you to our Facebook page.
Oh. Yeah, they're on Facebook and on Twitter, it looks like. I see the Twitter link on there. So, yep, it's definitely for all the information, contact information, visit the website, and see the great pictures of your vineyard and everything. It looks wonderful.
The best part is the dog, don't you think?
Yes, the dog is nice. That dog's still alive?
The dog is, it's second generation, same breed.
Wow.
Second generation, and this dog is great.
Yeah. The reason I asked is so many people put pictures of their dogs up there, and the pictures are like 10 years old. And so you never know.
We update.
Oh, very good. Well, Marco,
my wife would kill me if I put an old picture on.
I know. I've got one of those too. Yeah, not old picture, wife.
Thank
you very much for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate it. Thank you. You did well. You were trying to say you want to do well, and that Anne Marie, your wife, would do better.
My wife is great. You would have to cut her off. With me, you have to ask me questions. That's the only difference.
Well, you did very well tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and best luck to you. And if we're ever in New York, we definitely will stop by and visit Castello di Borghese.
Castello di Borghese.
Borghese, Italian. Castello, what's Castello? What is that?
Castello is, you know all the French, they have those chateaux.
Right.
Chateau in Italian, you say Castello, same thing.
Oh, okay.
Castello means house of Borghese, like Those fancy French chateaus, you know.
I see. Okay. Or Casa Excellent. Del Sol or something for Spanish. Yeah.
Well, our way of trying to be fancy.
Yeah. It worked. Well, again, thank you very much. Best of luck to you. And if we're ever in New York, we'll definitely stop by and visit you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Keep in touch. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thanks for being on with us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Wow. Very cool.
That was fun.
Very interesting.
There you go. That was the interview we had with Marco Borghese on July 28, 2011. On All About Wine. That was Ron, and I kind of popped in there at the end. But, very good interview, a lot of fun, and it was good. Don't forget, August the 16th, that is a week from this coming Saturday. If you're in the Long Island, New York area, visit and come on out. It's 3 p.m. There's going to be honoring of the lives of Anne Marie and Marco Borghese. They both passed away. She passed away less than 2 weeks after he did. He passed away on June 30th, and she passed away. I have the date here somewhere, but it was. One of those moves. She passed away less than 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks before then. So, come out and Saturday, August the 16th, 3 p.m. at Our Lady of Ostrobrama Roman Catholic Church at 3000 Depot Lane in Cutchogue. And he said Cutchogue. I thought it was Cutchogue. I don't know. He knows he's there. He was talking from there. Our Lady of Ostrobrama Roman Catholic Church, 3000 Depot Lane in Cutchogue at 3 p.m. August 16th. And then go out to the Castello di Borghese Vineyard on Route 48 in Cutchogue, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is the Memorial Celebration of Life concert featuring Nashville Hall of Famer Hugh Prestwood and friends. All right, don't forget, bring blankets and chairs. Drinks will be available by the glass and the bottle, and there will be a food truck. It's on the road food truck. Will also be on premises. So this coming I'll go ahead and do that. This coming Saturday here, August the 9th, is a wine fest at Florida State's Winery, and I'll tell you more about that coming up in 1 minute. Stay tuned.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Winefest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Winefest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Wine Fest.
That's the one I did. I don't know what the echo is from, but it just sounds like I'm in a bathroom somewhere. Anyway, so come out and enjoy the weekend this weekend. That's Saturday, August the 9th, 2014. Have a glass of wine, relax, and enjoy the sounds of Patrick Foy. And you'll enjoy the day there at the Florida State's Winery. You can also participate in an informative and entertaining wine tasting with Ron. Have a lot of fun and then shop the vendors who are out there and waiting on you. So check it out. Kathy will be there with Scentsy fragrances and all kinds of cool stuff from Scentsy. Boxer and Christy will be there again with their Flame Rock oil candles, which I bought back in December. Very cool stuff. Tammy is going to make her debut this week, bringing Just Crazy Good Gourmet Dips. Interesting. Let's see. Our smooth and creamy sweet dips are great with fruit, and you can use it as a spread for bagels and all kinds of stuff. So check it out. Dawn will be back this week with her original artwork and homemade pies. Susan will be there with hats galore. Let's see. There's also a independent designer. Is it Nurit? Nurit will be joining Saturday. She's an independent designer of classic Israeli styles. So check that out as well. Let's see. Anna's Fairy Garden, also attending for the first time in her arts and crafts business. And there's also Susie's Dogs, served by husband Charlie, will be back again with more grilled or steamed hot dogs. And also hamburgers and cheeseburgers will be grilled to order, with or without grilled onions. And they will be on the menu this time as well. Meatball Heroes will be back on the menu come cooler weather. Yeah, okay. Not yet. And by popular demand, they will be offering iced tea. Oh, cool. So enjoy visiting the vendors, and a lot more. Shopping is always fun, and it's a great chance to pick up unique gifts for friends, family members, and just everybody. Come out and enjoy the weekend at Florida State's Winery, and it's great. It's a lot of fun, so come on out. And also on Sunday, August the 10th is a wine class. It's a three-hour wine class, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Tell you about that. I'll be back in 1 minute and 28 seconds. Hey, this is Mike. Coming up this Sunday at Florida State's Winery, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. is another wine class. That's right. Wine class at Florida State's Winery, featuring winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, and tasting expert Ron Hunt. He shares his experiences and educational knowledge of wine in a detailed three-hour wine class. It's a lot of fun and a great way to learn something new about wine. Some of the topics that are covered include a brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution, and uses, oak aging, wine tasting, and rating wines, and my favorite, of course, the sampling of wines and a discussion. It's a great presentation, and it's located in the Florida State's Winery Tasting Room. For more information and to RSVP, which we would recommend, please contact the winery at area code 813-996-2113. Again, Florida State's Winery is phone number 813-996-2113. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Don't forget wine class this Sunday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida State's Winery. See you there. Yeah, there you go. That's this Sunday, August the 10th. So mark your calendars. If you're in the area, definitely travel down there. It's right off of Interstate 75, about 4 miles west on State Road 52. And there's signs, and the road might be a little bit bumpy, but just keep going. You'll see the building on the left-hand side, past the little house, I think. There's some farmland out there. It's out, almost out in the middle of nowhere, but you're really close to the approach into Tampa. So, cool. It is August, and school is like almost open here. I mean, it's amazing how early school starts now, as they wrote in the this edition of the newsletter from Florida State's Winery. And it's amazing. I don't know if it is in your area, but as soon as school starts, the roads are immediately crowded. I mean, it never fails. And also, there's always a bus on the road, and it's a school bus. It never fails. I mean, school starts, school bus, and it doesn't matter. It could be in the middle of the night. There's a school bus somewhere. And it's just, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Day or night, whatever. You'll always see a school bus once school starts. So, yeah. But the good thing is September's right around the corner, and it starts getting cooler. That's right. Our temperatures start getting down into the upper 80s, which is a big welcome. And somewhere, that's what happens. Ooh, a cold front in late September would get down to the 80s, and then here in Florida. And then a little bit beyond that becomes, you know, November, the holiday season, you know, all that good stuff in December. And then our temperatures go way down into the upper 70s, and it's just it's a fantastic time of year. So, and it's already starting. So come on out. There you go. That's where I'm going. Also, Florida State's Winery now has Starfruit Wine, which is really cool, and I still have a bottle of it, and it is really, really good. I picked up a bottle when I was in Homestead. There's a winery down there that has that has that as well, because we talked about it. We talked about the grape and the not the grape, that because it's a star fruit, but that we We were talking about it on one of the shows, and when I went down there, I found this the furthest, the southernmost winery in the country located there in Homestead. And I stopped in. They have a starfruit wine, and I got it. And when I went to Florida State's winery, I brought brought Ron a bottle, of course, and I got a bottle of his starfruit wine. And I got to tell you, Florida State's winery's starfruit wine, definitely worth it. It was great, and I still take a sip of well, glass, you know. But anyway, but the recipe of the starfruit wine is based on Eden Winery, which has closed. Eden Winery is located in Fort Myers. It did close, and Ron made the starfruit wine based on their recipe. You need to go to the winery and try it. That's Florida State's winery. Also visit the winery, and as we told you last month, the tip jar, there was a tip jar by the counter, and last month was for SPCA of Florida, No Kill. And very, very good amount collected there. Stop by again, because this month the tip jar is for Big Cat Rescue of Tampa. And I've heard about them quite a bit. I see them all the time where I happen to work as a normal job, which I won't say. But, yeah, it's they're really huge here. They have a great service. They rescue the big exotic cats. And it is it's strictly on donations and tours. You need to check them out at bigcatrescue.org and find out exactly what they do. But this month's tip jar is for Big Cat Rescue of Tampa, and all the proceeds in the tip jar go directly to the organization that they are intended for. So that's fantastic. Also remember to bring in your donation of pet food items for Raffle Rescue. If you do that, you get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. So don't forget, bring a donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue, which is a great, great, great cause. Excuse me. And you'll get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. Also, pets are welcome at Florida State's Winery, so that's cool. Vaccinated, of course, and friendly, all right? Don't bring some... This is my dog. I don't think so. But, yeah, pets are welcome at Florida State's Winery. And, you know, occasionally you see them around there, but really cool. And please bring a leash. You know, have them on a leash, that kind of thing. Let's see, what else? I guess this will, it's 7:57 p.m. here. I don't see anybody on the phones, which I was looking at earlier, but I've been tweeting about the show and everything, what we have on. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope it was a fairly decent dedication and just a, you know, memorial for the Borghese family. And, yeah, it's definitely, we're going to miss them. So we'll... go ahead and conclude this week's All About Wine show. You can send your comments and questions to allaboutwine101@gmail.com. You can also visit the website at allaboutwinebtr.com for show information. There's also links to our Facebook and Twitter pages, our past guests, and a lot more. So check out the website. Don't forget to visit Florida State's Winery, located again at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. This Saturday, again, it's going to be Wine Fest, and Sunday is the informative and entertaining three-hour wine class featuring Ron. For details, you can contact the winery at 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. Ron will return to All About Wine next Thursday, which will be August 14th. At 7 p.m. for another edition of All About Wine. And I believe we have a guest that is joining the show. So that'll be cool. And, yeah, so tune in next Thursday. And I hope you all have a great week. And thanks for listening to All About Wine. Have a good one. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.